Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28. I want to speak to you tonight on the thought why I love Romans 8, 28. Every now and then we need to be reminded that God has promise, He has protection, He has provision for us, and we can find it no clearer. If you're, whatever you're facing, I want to tell you tonight why I love this scripture. I love all scripture. I love the Word of God. I've been reading through the book of Leviticus, and it's talking about those sores and those scabs and all of those laws. And sometimes you read through the book of Leviticus, and you're kind of like, okay. And I was just thought crossed my mind. God loves us so much, He cares about the little sores on our bodies. Amen? Amen. The Word of God just comes alive. Amen. I'm like, God, if you care about these people's little, you know, look at it and see if, what it looks like, if it's white or if it's deep or whatever. I'm like, praise God. He does number the hair on our head. He does care about every part of my being, even a little scab. He said, show it to the priest. Let them check it out. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord. Take your problems to the Lord. He cares, and He's in the house tonight. Come on, give Him another hand of praise here tonight. I feel Him in here. The Holy Ghost is here tonight. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In fact, this scripture can be so familiar that if we're not careful, we can lose the effectiveness and the beauty and the inspiration and the hope and the help and the healing of it. In fact, it's tucked away in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is like the Grand Canyon of Scripture. Anybody ever seen the Grand Canyon? Romans 8 is like the Niagara Falls of Scripture. Anybody ever seen the Niagara Falls? Romans 8 is like the Taj Mahal. Now, anybody been to see the Taj Mahal? Anybody? Checking. Nobody from Wilson County has been over there to see the Taj Mahal? Well, I'll tell you what. I understand it's beautiful. The seven wonders of Romans chapter 8. I could preach a series on the seven wonders: liberation, direction, healing, no separation, unification, Spirit's indwelling, and there's two more I'll tell you about when I preach on it. Amen. Then Romans chapter 8, if it is the Grand Canyon, then Romans 8 and 28 is the highest summit of all of the beauty of God's Word. And so this scripture has brought hope where there was none. This scripture is a beacon in the darkest night. And I love so many, but I want tonight to tell you why I love Romans 8 and 28. Let's read it out loud together. Romans 8 and 28. All right, ready? Read. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Father, thank You tonight for Romans 8 and 28. Anoint Your servant to preach the Word. Give us hope, help, healing, and strength, and we'll bless You forever. And everybody said amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see them tonight, and God bless you. Amen. Give the Lord another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. I love what the pastor said. We're a Pentecostal church. Amen. Oh, I tell you, I like to see running the aisles. I like to see people lifting their hands. I like to see the presence of the Lord. And where did we ever get into this idea that we better not let that stuff happen? It might scare somebody away. You know what? I believe when the Lord moves like that, people get drawn to the Lord. Amen. And when God is working in His house, say amen tonight. With dramatic skill. We have excellent Sunday school teachers, but a Sunday school teacher was telling her class of the story of Abraham and his obedient preparation to sacrifice Isaac. As the story neared its climax, the little girl pleaded, "Oh, please don't go on. This story is too terrible. I can't take it any longer." And another little girl interrupted and said, "Don't be silly, Mary. This is one of God's stories. And God's stories always come out right." Can you say amen tonight? Romans 8 and 28 is the scripture that we have read from tonight. It's been a source of great blessing and comfort to the saints of God through the ages. The entire Romans chapter 8 towers in its splendor and grandeur. It begins in verse 1 with no condemnation. It ends the ending verse with no separation. In the middle, we find Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. As we face uncertain times, as we face the challenges in our families, in our churches, in our communities, and even in our nation, tragedies like school shootings, Newton, Connecticut, Las Vegas, Nevada, places where things are senseless. As we face these times, people are asking, why? People are asking, is there any hope? People are asking, how can this make sense? But yet, despite all this, we can, remember our Lord was on the boat in the storm. He rested his head upon the pillow of comfort in the midst of the tossing and turning of the seas of uncertainty, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. Now, I was quite pleased tonight that the Lord confirmed this message by Sister Denny Lucas tonight when I came into the service this evening. I don't know if she's still here or not. She might have had. Okay, there she is. And she asked one of the greatest questions, one of the most pleasant questions that a pastor I love to get. And it's basically this: what kind of cake do you like? I was so blessed. I'm telling you, it just got me. I'm assuming this is for pastor appreciation, which is next. Do I know? Amen. Amen. I'm ready for next Sunday. Amen. I'm not even going to try to be humble about it. I look forward to pastor appreciation. Amen. I love the desserts. I love the fellowship and I love the people. Amen. And I love our pastor. Amen. But I was thinking about the chocolate cake. That's what I came with. I just like a plain, simple chocolate cake, yellow cake. You don't have to do 7 or 8, 10 layers. Just a big helping of nice, soft, moist. Aren't you getting hungry tonight? Amen. But my understanding is that cake contains white flour. That cake contains probably some baking powder, maybe so, maybe not. Lard and raw eggs. And I can promise you, I don't like raw eggs. I promise you, I don't. I can promise you, I don't. Have you ever tried baking soda before? Just raw baking soda. Don't do it. Don't raise your hand if you had, please. If you do, we're going to stop the service and pray for you right now. Amen. Something not right. But you know, when you put all them ingredients together, pastor appreciation, glory to God, cakes are coming and the eggs and the milk and the flour and the baking soda and the lard and all the ingredients. I'll tell you, everything by itself is not good. But all together, when God gets finished with it and when the ladies of the church get finished with it, we are blessed and highly favored of God. I want you to love Romans 8 and 28 as much as I do. I want you to give the Lord a hand of praise that he can take the mess and give you a message. He can take the mess and give you a miracle. Does anybody need a miracle here tonight? I promise you, God's working it out. He is working out. And let me tell you something. I've discovered it's not what's in the bowl that really matters. It's what comes out of the oven. Amen. You put that thing in the oven and you give it some time. Somebody shout time. Oh, that's the missing ingredient we don't like. You know, we're sitting tapping on the clock and tapping our circle. How much longer? But I'm here to tell you, you can't bake that cake in 5 minutes. It's got to take some time and some tender love and care. But when it comes out of that hot oven, I want you to know it's good. And what God is doing in your life is good. And he's blessing and he's working and he's turning it all together. The mistakes, the hurt, the pain, the rejection. He says, I'm working it out. Somebody shout, he's working it out. Turn around and tell your neighbor, he's working it out. I just want to shout to the devil, he's working it out for my good and his glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I love Romans 8 and 28. Anything that happens in life, you can count on that scripture. And you can know that it's the word of God. Number one, the certainty. The certainty. Somebody shout the certainty. No doubt. No voting. No talk show series about it. You're not going to hear Dr. Phil debating it. Theologians can dig into the ancient text of the past and compare scripture with scripture and happenstance. Maybe it says we know. And that word know means I know it, head knowledge, but I also know it by experience. Amen. Now, I can read a book on a chocolate cake, and I can read about how others have eaten chocolate cake, but until Sister Denny puts that chocolate cake down, her special version, and I won't know it until I've experienced it. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you, I'm about to come apart tonight. This is good. This is getting good. I'm telling you, I'm about to run this aisle. I'm telling you, get ready. So just prepare yourself that the Lord just might break through and do something that you hadn't thought about, to do something that I'm so tired of church services being so dead and so constricted and so restricted. I'm about ready to let loose and let God have his way. Amen. So it's certain. We know. It's not conjecture. It's not opinion. It's not vague. This is a rock solid truth. This verse did not say that God works all things out for our good most of the time. Nor does it say that God works most things out for our good all of the time. It says God works all things out together for our good all the time, period. Exclamation point, exclamation point. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say amen. F.B. Meyer said, if any promise of God should fail, the heavens would clothe themselves with sackcloth. The sun, moon, and stars would reel from their courses. The universe would rock and a hollow wind would moan through a ruined creation. The awful message that God could lie. But how many of you know he does not lie? It doesn't look good for me right now, Pastor. I'm having this difficulty. I'm having a sickness. I'm having a problem. I'm having a financial need. I'm having a spirit of depression. And I don't see how you can see that that's any good. Did you hear about the man on the train that was going through a town, but it was not scheduled to stop? And there was a very short passenger on the train who wanted to get off, because if he did not, he would have to pay $100 for a taxi to get him back to town. When the man sitting in the seat next to him had a brilliant idea, he said, look, the train always slows down to pick up a mailbag. When it slows down, I'll hold you out the window. And when it slows down, when I drop you, you start running so you won't fall on your face and you just simply run to a stop. Oh, that's a great idea. Well, the train, sure enough, slowed down. The man took his little friend, put him out the window, and dropped him as they were picking up the mail. And he was come down, hit the platform, started running. And as he was running, slowing down, he was waving to his friend saying, thank you. Well, somebody else saw the little man out on the platform running and waving his hand and thought he had surely missed the train. So he took it upon himself to reach out, grab his hand, and pull him back on the train. This is your lucky day, he said. You almost missed the train. Can I tell you, in all seriousness, sometimes when we miss the train, God can still work it out. I said he's working it out. Don't give up. Don't give in. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And shall not God avenge his own elect that call unto him day and night, though he tarry long with them? We've got a friend in midnight. And how many of you being evil and having a friend that comes at midnight and says, I need something? And I'll tell you, because of the importunity, because he is his friend, he don't want to get out of of bed. He don't want to mess up the children. But because that's his friend, he said, I'm going to give up and help him if the least he can just get out of my hair and I can go back to sleep. If that man can do that for his friend, how much more God, who neither slumbers nor sleep. He is 24 hours a day, long before cable news. God was on the phone making news 24 hours, not fake news, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The certainty of it, he is on his throne. He has heard your prayer. Your cup is about to run over. God will break through. God will give the answer. He will lead. He will comfort. He will give peace. He will give guidance. It's not a hope so, wish so, think so, debate it so. It's a no so. It's a certain. Hallelujah. We know all things. Now give him a hand of praise tonight for it. It may not be right, but it'll be all right. Turn around and tell somebody, it may not be right, but it'll be all right. And I love Romans 8 and 28 because of the certainty of it, because of the completeness, number two, of it. All things, all things, all things, all things. Now, God allows some things, but he turns all things for his greater glory and your greater good. I don't understand it. You'll not find the word understand in this scripture. You'll find the word know. And there's a difference. I know all things are going to work together for good. All things. But I don't understand how they're going to work together for good. My wife loves to do puzzles. And I know my wife. She's very detailed oriented. And the thing is that if I feel like she's getting too busy, and if I feel like she's getting too overloaded, all I have to do is buy a 1,200-piece puzzle and put it on the coffee table. I don't say nothing. I just put it on the coffee table, and she'll look at it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. She's took the bait. And then her curiosity, she's going to open that box. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to do the dishes and do the laundry. That's okay. She needs a break. And she ain't going to stop till that puzzle's put together. It may take her a couple of days, but she's going to put that puzzle together before the cat gets fed, before homework gets done at school. I'm telling you, she's going to put that pieces together. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, we may not be able to put the pieces together, but God will. God knows the pieces to the puzzle. I could put a 1,200-piece puzzle in front of me, and brother, you might as well take a 4-year degree before I figure that thing out. Man, I'm like, this goes here, this goes here. What about this goes here? That give up. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, God puts the pieces together. Somebody say this with me. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. You say, well, why is God allowing me to go through this trial? He's allowing you to go through this trial to show himself mighty and to show himself strong. Because when he does answer and when he does make a way, then you will certainly know it beyond a reasonable doubt. There was a man who was shipwrecked on an uninhabited island. And this happens. He managed to get a few meager belongings together that washed up on shore after the shipwreck. And he built a little hut to protect those things from the sun and the rain and the wind. For weeks, the only thing he had for company was the hot sun. When I read the story, I think about Tom Cruise for some reason. And that soccer ball that he had on that movie. I don't know if anybody ever saw that Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks. I don't watch Tom Cruise movies, by the way. Tom Hanks. And I think about that movie that he was in. And it says, for weeks, the only thing he had for company was the sun, the rain, and the dark nights. He prayed every day that a ship would come, but nothing came. He said, Lord, please send a ship by. I need to be rescued. Then late one evening, he went out to look for food. And he noticed across the island a cloud of smoke rising from where his hut was. He ran back terrified to find that his little hut had gone up in flames. His campfire had caught fire to the hut and not only burned up the hut, but what few possessions from his boat wreck were all gone. And he cried himself to sleep. God, why has this happened to me? Why did you let the tent burn? Why did you cause me to lose everything? Well, early the next evening, he awoke to find a ship actually had anchored off the island. And the rescue he had been praying for many weeks was suddenly there. And still trying to believe his eyes, he heard footsteps. He turned around, and there were men from the ship who had come to rescue him. He said, "How in the world did you find me?" He said, "We were passing by, and we saw your smoke signal." Turn around and say, "All things." Even when things burn down, even when tragedies strike, even when things happen, God redeems them. Now, let me ask you a question. We're going to go through the tragedies of life. We're going to go through the things of life. We're going to walk through some tough times. It's just a fact of life. God is a good God, but this is not a good world. And this is, our bodies are fallen, and we are dealing with the effects of the fall. And there are things like Job that happened to us that are beyond our control. But I will tell you this, that even in the smoke and in the ashes, God comes to the rescue, and he can turn around and make it good. Can you say amen? Well, what about people who do things bad to me? I mean, on my job, somebody turned me in and lied about me. And, you know, we've been talking about false accusation these last few weeks. And I'm not going to get into any political statements here. I'm not here to take sides. I want God to take over. Amen. But there is a thing called false accusation. When someone tells a lie on you to discredit you in front of somebody who's about to help you, or somebody, it happens all the time. Can I get an amen out there? You just got to live. And but people are not all sanctified and saved. Not everybody's your buddy and your friend. I'm just here to tell you there's a thing called false accusation. There's a thing where people will do things to try to hurt you. They're not your friend. They're not there to help you. In fact, the devil stirs people up. And there's things that happen, but can God use even that? Can he? You ever heard of Joseph? His brothers, they talked about killing him, and they decided, well, we won't kill him. We'll just sell him into slavery. And he cried. He was torn from his family. Sold into slavery. Then he went to Potiphar's house, and God blessed him. And then Potiphar's wife made a false accusation that she was sexually assaulted. But she couldn't produce any evidence, could she? But that's all right. It didn't matter. All she had to do was make the accusation. And he was thrown where? Into jail. And there in the prison, a butler and a baker came by, and they forgot him. One died, and the other forgot him. But let me tell you something. At the end of the story, God worked all of it. All of it. Somebody shout all. I'm telling you, the divorce, the breakup, the hurt, the rejection, what people have done, what people have said. The Bible says that God, every tongue that rises in judgment against you, God will condemn. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Listen, you may have had others to do things to you. You may have done things to yourself. It's called regret. It's called, man, if I hadn't messed up, if I hadn't done this, if I hadn't gone this direction, my life would be so much different right now. And the devil just screams at you and says, you're at a certain age and you should be further along. But you made this mistake and you made that mistake and you made this mistake. Can I tell you? So did Peter. Amen. He had a good career. He spent 3 years watching miracles. He was the only one that walked upon the water. Are y'all still awake out there tonight? Maybe I'm the only one that needs this sermon. So I'm going to get a blessing tonight. I've already been blessed. Because I love Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I love it. Amen. Because I've done things in my own life that I've messed up. Turns I shouldn't have took. Decisions I shouldn't have made. And prayers that I probably should have prayed more. Anybody else other than Ricky Nelms out there kind of mess things up? Don't raise your hand unless you feel led to. But I'm here to tell you that Peter, he really messed up. He denied the Lord 3 times. And he decided to go back to this fishing business. He was out, brother. But I'm here to tell you, the very first one that Jesus said to go tell. He said, you go tell my disciples and Peter. I want you to send a message to Peter. Here's the message, Peter. It hadn't been written yet, but the message to come and the message for the night is, Peter, I can work all things out together for your good and for my glory because of my purpose in your life. You tell him he's not going to go fishing for fish. He's still going to go fishing for men. And he's going to preach a sermon on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 are going to get saved. My God, I'm here to tell you tonight. Don't let the devil tell you it's too late. Don't let the devil tell you you've messed up in your teenage years, that you went bankrupt. I'm telling you, God can turn it around, all around. He is the mighty God. We know all things work together. Our failures, our hurts, our mistakes. Now, I asked this one time before here, and so I'll ask you again. And some of you remember this question, but how many of you love sodium? Sodium? Did you know that table salt is what? It's not sodium. It's sodium chloride. Did you know that if you eat pure sodium, you're dead? So if you tell me you like sodium, I want to know if you're suicidal. Because sodium is deadly, but you got to have chloride in there. Chloride balances that chemical equation and tastes good. I can tell Pastor Appreciation is coming. We're going to have salt and we're going to have barbecue and chicken and cake. Oh, I'm telling you, all things work together for good. Amen. Sodium chloride. Hallelujah. God can put the bad things that meant to kill you. God can just add something to it and say, no, it ain't meant to kill you. It's going to turn around and bless you. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. It may not be right. It's going to be all right. The certainty of it. I love it. I love the completeness. All things. I'm telling you, all things. I was reading. I got to finish the Bible. Not got to, but I want to. Thank you, Pastor, for reminding me of that. You don't got to. You get to, right? But I'm reading through the Old Testament, and I was reading through again the book of Genesis, and I'm telling you, Jacob messed up, man. He was a man of God, but he messed it up. He messed up. His mama and him, they did the craziest mess. I'm telling you, I thought my crowd over in Nash County was tough, but I read about those patriarchs. I'm like, we got to be related. I mean, they just like some of my family over there. I'm telling you, some of them are crazy. You know, old Jacob, man, he swindled his brother out of the birthright, and his brother's going to kill him. But let me tell you something. You can't kill the man because the man is called of God to produce the descendants. Amen. That's my next point. His purpose. I'm not got there yet, so don't advance the slide. But the point I'm trying to tell you is God can take the mess ups and the hang ups and the hurts and the sickness and the disease, and he can turn it around for his glory. Would you just lift your hand and thank him that all things, Lord, you're bringing me through this. I'm not camping here. I'm not parking here. I'm on a journey. I'm headed to the promised land. And I thank you, Lord, and that I love Romans 8:28. Give him another hand of praise here tonight for the completeness of it. But there's a condition. Number three, there's a condition. It says all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. Them that love God. In the Hebrew and the Greek, it says, to the ones who love God, he works all things together into good. To the ones who love God. If you don't know the Lord, I will say to you that all things are working for your bad. Let me repeat that. Because you got to get on the train. We got to make sure we're on the same page. You can't be in open rebellion to God and think, huh, all things are working for good. If you're not saved tonight, if you're not a child of the Lord, I know you're human and I know he loves you, but you're not his child. You're on your own, sort of. Now, we'll tell you this, if you'll come to him, he can turn around and take the stuff and redeem it. Somebody say the word redeem it. But outside of the Lord, outside of people like, well, they never go to church, never read their Bible. They never witness about their faith. Well, listen, people like, well, I'm a Christian. No, really, what you mean is you're an American. And you know, there's a difference between being an American and being a Christian. In America, we identify as a Christian country, and we're Christian. Let me tell you something. You're not a Christian until you're born again. What's the Land Rover or whatever is a Rover comer. Amen. We got to pull him back out soon. But understand, you got to be born again. Not everybody's a child of God. People are like, well, we're all brothers and sisters. I am not a brother and sister to some people, a lot of people in this world. I never will be. The Bible says you're of your father, the devil. Now, I know you guys are getting really, really uptight right now, but I'm just telling you the truth. Well, you're not part of the family until you get adopted. And if you're not adopted, if you're not part of the family, this don't apply to you. I said this don't apply to you. If all things work together for good, I promise you, if you don't know the Lord, you say, well, I don't know the Lord, but I've got a brilliant career and I'm making millions of dollars. But what's it going to do if you breathe your last breath and go to hell for all eternity? What you boasted in kept you from humbling yourself and crying out to God. Maybe if you were a poor man on the street, you would have said, oh God, I need you, and see your riches turn out to be a curse. All things work to the bad if you don't know the Lord. Get off that track for the peril of your soul, for the goodness of your soul, for the blessings and the favor of God, for His plan and His purpose. And don't dilly-dally. Don't put one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Go all in for God. And I promise you, the minute you go all in for God, He will work all things together for those who love Him, those who want to serve Him, those who praise Him. Am I talking to anybody like that tonight? Are you in tonight? I'm not saying half in, but is anybody all in tonight? Anybody all in? Oh, I want to tell you, we've got to love God. When the missionary Barnabas Shaw was forbidden to preach in Cape Town, he decided, I'm not leaving Africa, but to push on into the interior. He bought a yoke of oxen and put his wife and his goods into a wagon and started out, resolved to settle wherever he could preach. So they journeyed 300 miles. Then while camping one night, they discovered a band of tribal people there who were camping nearby. In conversation with the leader, he learned that the heathen were on their way to Cape Town to find a missionary. Are y'all with me here tonight? All things, if you love God, even when they don't let you preach, and you say, I was planning to be here, but I'm going to go there, and there are some people waiting to hear the gospel message. There's the certainty of it. Say amen. There's the completeness of it. Say amen. There's a condition of it. Say amen. And give your life to the Lord. And when I say give your life to the Lord, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. Repent of your sins. Repent of your life. You have to die in order to live. If you want to live, you will eventually die. But if you'll die, you'll go ahead and live. You see, before I got saved, I thought, man, I don't want to be a Christian because I want to have fun. I want to do this and I want to do this. And I like this. And I know these things are fun. You know, quote fun, and I'm not going to list what those things are. You know what it is. You know the different things that people say, well, I would rather not get saved because of this, that, or the other, or what people are going to say. And I struggled with that. And then I began to realize I'm in danger. I may die. And if I die and I haven't received the Lord, I'm going to be in danger forever with not knowing Him, and I'll be confined to a place called hell. And so I began to get concerned. That's called conviction. And when conviction and fear came upon me to a point that I couldn't withstand it any longer without to my own detriment, I found a place and said, my God, please forgive me. I have sinned against you. I have wanted to do things, and I already started doing stuff at a young age. But I'm here to tell you, God be the glory, Brother Philip. He gloriously said, that's okay. I will forgive you. I will. And I felt something. I knew He came into my life. I said, God, I didn't save myself, but the Lord came down. And when I didn't mind cussing, the next time I said a cuss word, I said, oop, I just said something wrong. The next time I thought a thought I shouldn't think, it was like, oh, I better not do that. You see, something had changed in me. And I love the Lord. And I still love Him. And I may not go through some good things, but I'm going to go through all things going to work together. And I love Romans 8:28. So give your life to the Lord and do not delay. Turn around and tell somebody, don't delay. Get saved tonight. You may say, well, I got plenty of time. Let me tell you something. Nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. From the preacher in the pulpit to the person in the pew, I urge you tonight, now is the time. Do not wait any longer. Do not put it off because of some boyfriend or girlfriend. Don't put it off because of some thing that you want to do. Well, I had, you know, people come up to me and say, well, I want to get saved, but I really want to go down to the race next week down at NASCAR, and I want to party, and then I'll get saved. You might die on the way. And what would you feel like if you found yourself in hell waiting to go to a party at NASCAR when God had offered all of eternity and heaven and streets of gold? And I'm preaching the gospel here tonight, folks. It's time to realize that we need to get urgent and compel people and say, it's now is the time. Be saved. Be born again. Come to know Jesus. Do not delay. Now is the hour. And by the way, here's another thing. The Lord just may come today, and you do not want to be left behind. Would you give him praise here tonight that he loves you so much? And I'm glad I did went ahead and got saved at 12 years of age. I'm glad I did. I remember I went to school and my first day of my eighth grade year at Southern Nash Junior. I don't know what to call it now. Southern Nash Middle, I think, now. But back then it was Southern Nash Junior. And there was only one Christian that I knew of, and he was the class nerd. He had big glasses, had a pocket protector. He wore a button-down shirt. He was the nerd. He was the geek back then when geeks were not popular. And he was the only Christian I knew. His name was Tim Johnson. I'll call his name out. I hope he's not watching. But I see him at Best Buy a lot. He and I are friends still. But I knew if I got around my other friends, I knew they'd pull me back quick. When I got off that school bus, I had one duty, and that is to find Tim Johnson. If I can ever connect with him. And I remember I saw him. At Southern Nash Middle, there's a little concourse out there where they can gather. And I saw him in the concourse, and three of my old buddies were standing between me and Tim. And I remember I had to make a quick decision. If I stop and talk with my old buddies, they're going to start telling me some dirty jokes and tell me all the things they did over the summer. This is for the cell phones and texting and Facebook. Are y'all with? This is the ancient days. Back in the 1980s. Come on now. And I want you to know, when I saw my three, they were looking at me, and I was looking at them, and it was like something was pulling me, and I just looked at them, and I kept on walking, and I almost ran. I said, hey, Tim, how are you doing? I just had to break that spirit off of my life. Don't let somebody keep you from the greatest thing, and that is giving your life to the Lord. Forsake all and follow him, and all things will work together for your good. Would you say amen tonight? Amen. And Brother Clark, if you'll come so that we can begin to close this down. And then finally, the purpose. Somebody shout the word purpose. God has a purpose. I said God has a purpose. Amen. We don't understand the things that happen in this world. School shootings. Young people killed, and like this young man we did the funeral for today. We don't understand why people like Sister Judy Meeks and others have Alzheimer's. We don't know what and why of the secret things that belong to the Lord. And he has a purpose. Somebody say a purpose. You were not an accident. That is why we are vehemently against abortion. We love people. And if you've ever committed an abortion, let me tell you, God will forgive you. Say amen. And we'll never kill an abortion doctor, for that's not in our power to do. But I will tell you this, one conception, one life, God gives life. Say that with me. God gives life. Well, it was in an affair. It was in this. It was in that. Let me tell you. You came. Listen. Hear me. You came through your parents. But you didn't come from your parents. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. Some of you had a father to abuse you. Some of you had a mother to forsake you. You came through your parents, but you came through your parents, but you came from the Lord. He has a purpose for your existence. He has a purpose for your life, and I promise you, it's good. It's better than you think. It may not always be fun. See, I know that the purpose for my life is to pastor. I know that's my calling. I was called to pastor at East Carolina University. It's East Carolina, yeah. Not Holmes Bible College, East Carolina. And I was in 114B Belk Dorm on 14th Street in Greenville. It was during exams. And I asked, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I have given you a pastor's heart. I knew that moment. I want to be an evangelist for some reason. I didn't want to be a pastor. I want to be like Paul Jackson. Paul Jackson had just come along and preached the 3-week revival at the Faith Pentecost Owners Church. Now it's called New Destiny. But I remember going to that revival. I'm telling you, I was 18 years old. And Paul Jackson was in the prime of his ministry. And I remember sitting on that front row. And God had said, I've called you to be a pastor. I've given you a pastor's heart. And I sit on the front row because I didn't know Paul Jackson. I didn't know anybody in that church. And I walked and went right straight to the front row because you know why? I frankly didn't care who was in that church. I had to hear from the Lord. I wanted to be so close to the preacher that if he even felt like laying his hands on me, I would be, here it is, lay your hands right there. I could have carried a sign that said, prophesy over me. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm telling you, I was hungry. Are y'all still with me tonight? Paul Jackson preached like only Paul Jackson can do. He'd throw his arm back and he'd stomp his foot. And he preached all around me and all around me and all around me. And I, like he didn't even see me. And he got to preaching and all of a sudden he stopped. And he looked right in my eyes. He said, every time you've tried to go with God, the devil's knocked you back. But tonight, you're going all the way and you're not going to ever stop. And Paul Jackson, if you're listening tonight, my brother, I want to tell you since that night, I've been through some low places and been through some tough times. But I love Romans 8:28 because all things have worked together for good. And I've not stopped yet. I want you to get, God's got a purpose. He's got a plan. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You're not an accident. You're not a throwaway. You are special. You have, God has his eye on you. God wants to do amazing things. He wants to put the sodium together. He wants to put the eggs to go ahead and start playing. He wants to put it all together. And at the end of the journey, would you stand at the end of the journey? You'll say, I am blessed and highly favored. Come on, lift your hand. Do you love Romans 8:28? Love it. Quote it. When you're in the doctor's office, read it. When you broke it in your marriage, read it. When you feel pain in your body, speak it. When the devil lies to you and said it's all over, quote it back to him. Take out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you love Romans 8:28? Do you love it tonight? Old Martin Luther, talking about pastor appreciation, and I close. Martin Luther, the great reformer, came in and his wife, Kathy, was dressed in funeral clothes, black. He looked at her and said, Kathy, whose funeral are you going to? Who has died? She said, Martin, God has died. And Martin Luther looked at his wife and said, honey, that's blasphemy. I don't know if he used the word honey or not. That's, I have to throw a little southern in there. He said, that's blasphemy. God's not dead. She said, Martin, I know God's not dead, but the way you've been acting lately sure looks like that God is dead. He had been worried. He had been fought. He had had trials. And he got the message. He sat down and he wrote a song. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark, never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power great and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. But I want to tell you, a mighty fortress is Romans 8:28. Would you step out of your seat tonight and ask God to give you that revelation tonight. If you don't know the Lord, I want you to come as well. Everybody, if you would, step out of your seat. Let's close in prayer tonight. Go ahead and sing whenever you're ready. Oh, yes. Come on, everybody. Let's thank God for Romans 8:28. God's not dead. He's a mighty fortress, a bulwark never failing. Come on down and rededicate your life to the Lord. Come on down and renew your passion. Come on down and renew your purpose. Come on and give your life to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive you. To